to several hundred days, up to 300 days in advance of a predicted pandemic. So I can go about another 15 minutes if you want me to comment on graphene and EMF. Otherwise, we can end here.
Well, no, I also have some comments. I know that Grandmother Karen has to leave, but I have some brief comments that I just want to get on the record at
Okay.
some point.
Okay, great. Well, that's fine. Do you want to do that now? Do you want me to just sh the questions?
Why
Okay.
don't you go to through to the end of what
Yeah.
you're going to present,
EMF.
and then I'll go your thing.
Yeah,
Okay.
I'll hold on as long as I can.
Okay, sure. All right, I'll go back to screen share. Sorry, it's so dense, but I'm trying to fit a little overview of 60 minutes. 60 hours. I didn't even go into the neuroweapons and the NASA documents and the smart dust, etc., in any great detail. But it's a very big picture.
We're aware.
You're aware. Yep.
That's why we got you up front.
Okay. All
Well,
right. So here.
we could always come back for a part C
Great.
on another day.
Well, this will only take about 15 minutes because I just gave a
Oh,
brief.
okay.
Let's just run it through. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I can handle it.
Okay. All right. So this is part C, topics 11 to 14. And these topics are protocols by source. I've simply listed a few of the organizations. I have hundreds of protocols from hundreds of organizations. I've listed about five or six of my favorites because we don't want to be here for 14 years. And again, I've gone through individuals, their protocols, their background, their viewpoints, and I'm recommending a few that you might want to pursue. I've got one page for method. There are so many methods. I've got, oh, I don't know, maybe 40 different methods and subdivisions within that of different methods we can address each aspect of COVID with. And what I focus on here, there are quite a few different causes. The virus, if the virus is a real thing, has been covered by a lot of different individuals and organizations. So I concentrate here on highlighting what I think some of the causes are. And then I go into some, a little bit of an overview on graphene and on EMFs, and some solutions as well, not just problems, but solutions. So EMFs are affecting our honeybees as well, and we need pollinating insects if we want to survive. So this is the only slide for protocols by source. I listed some of these earlier. Again, they have protocols for every aspect and every phase of the COVID situation. The phases being prevention, treatment for COVID, and treatment for long COVID. The aspects being COVID injection injuries and COVID contact vaccinosis, because they don't necessarily follow in a sequence. That's why I call these two, aspects. Okay, so the AAPS, C19 early, Commusav, FLCCC, Truth for Health Foundation, and World Council for Health. I'm recommending these because they have so many sub-organizations that are contributing. So they're a really, really rich resource to consult. Videos, documents, audio, organizations you can join. They all welcome support and donations as well. And membership, you're welcome to join. Some of the leading individuals for protocols for all aspects of COVID, so I'm not just covering prevention or treatment here, I'm covering all aspects, include Dr. Brian Artis, Dr. Richard Bartlett, he focused on oxygen therapies, Ryan Cole, he also sells a number of PCR tests, he's a pathologist, appearing on stage a lot with Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Robert Malone, well, Robert Malone, PhD. Dr. Gabriel Cousins, I love his work. Beautiful spiritual emphasis. He was the first one to speak about potential radioactive contamination in the COVID injections. He spoke to Vaccine Choice Canada on January 23rd, 2021, And it was months later that Todd Callender was mentioning the cesium-137 in the COVID injections. So it's pretty extraordinary. And Dr. Henry Ely, his emphasis is on nutrition. Dr. Dietrich Klinghart, he had a very broad range of considerations for Dr. Klinghart, highly recommended, including the different levels of healing. Highly recommend his work. Dr. Alina Lesenich, she's a veterinarian in Germany, but she has good protocols in both German and English, including heavy metal detoxification. She's highly recommended by World Council for Health too. Dr. Thomas Levy, oxygen therapies, including ozone. He's written a book on oxygen therapies. His focus is also on nutrition. You'll find him on his own website and on orthomolecular.org. Dr. Arianna Love, again, you'll see her interviewed around the world now, which is wonderful. She was even interviewed by Rainer Fulmich a little while ago. She has been interviewed by Romola D together with Dr. Robert Young. She's been interviewed by Maria Z. Her work is outstanding. She tends to be a few paces in front of other people. Dr. Carrie Madej, bravely stepping back onto the United States soil, bringing a very spiritual perspective to this, and a different viewpoint from a number of other people, different background, talking about the transhuman aspect that other people weren't aware of. She's very brave speaking out. Dr. Bruce Patterson with his company Incell DX, he's focused on long COVID. Dr. Michael Roth wrote a good article on detoxing from graphene oxide. He wrote that for America's Frontline Doctors. Dr. Shankara Chetty was known for his document called The Eighth Day Protocol. He found that COVID changed at day eight. If people hadn't been treated well and recovered, or on their way to recovery by the eighth day, it got much worse and many times went into what's understood to be long COVID. So his eighth day protocol is very highly regarded. Dr. Brian Tyson, Dr. George Fareed, I mentioned them earlier. They work together now with many other doctors, including Frontline COVID Care. They work together with Harvey Riesch and Dr. Peter McCullough. They saved a lot of lives. And David Wolf, his focus is on nutrition primarily, although I think he's aware of many other modalities and the spiritual aspect of things too. So these are just a few of the hundreds of people. These are some of my personal favorites. Highly recommended. And then treatment options, cause. These are some of the causes for COVID, long COVID, COVID injection injuries, COVID contact vaccinosis. So it may be a virus. It could be any of these factors alone or individually in combination with any others. It's pretty wild. Graphene, nanotechnology. I mean, it could be just the graphene. If the graphene's in people's bodies has been functionalized by having drugs put on it or toxins, this whole COVID thing could be just graphene that's being activated by EMF. There might not even be a virus. However, many researchers think there is. There seems to be good evidence that some kind of bioweapon, perhaps in combination with everything else. So I do look, I've done weeks of research on graphene. So I specialize on that later in this presentation briefly. The nanotechnology, whether self-assembling nanotechnology is growing from the graphene compounds, because they do grasp and absorb, they're great, like Velcro, picking up other compounds in the body, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, boron, nanoparticles of metals, etc. So it's quite possible that the self-assembling nanotechnology is a real thing. Non-ionizing radiation, that already has very serious effects on the body, many symptoms of which overlap almost identically with COVID. And it could be just non-ionizing radiation, or it could be all of these other things made much worse because of the non-ionizing radiation, 5G, 6G, etc. Ionizing radiation is what we think of as radioactivity. Substances, harmful frequencies, this can be pulsed out intentionally or just targeted to either a group or an individual. There are 5G towers on top of hospitals, Wi-Fi throughout hospitals. The equipment is using 5G and 6G. Toxins, metal, chemical, psychological, and pathogens. It's a complex situation. So briefly looking at only two aspects, graphene compounds and non-ionizing radiation. I'll just briefly go through this. I can review this more at another time if you wish. We have many possible exposures to graphene in the air from geoengineering that's spread from the planes. And once it's in the air, it goes into the water and the soil, which means it goes into the food supply, which means it grows into everything. Pharmaceuticals, unless it's incredibly purified, but if the graphene is nanoparticle size, 5 atoms by 5 atoms, it's pretty hard to remove. It's intentionally included in personal care products. It's in every aspect, it seems, of the COVID situation, on the swabs, the masks, the injections. It's actually intentionally used in fabrics. The Graphene Flagship is a European organization promoting the use of graphene for all of these applications. Transportation, building, biomedical, fabrics, you name it. And it's also used in occupational use. It's a lubricant, for example. It can make vehicles and airplanes lighter and stronger, home and vehicle maintenance products. So here are some of the ways people can be exposed to graphene. Through exhaust, you can inhale it, and also at work. It can be used in biomedical applications. Graphene-based nanomaterials, GBN, comes in different forms. It can come in through the food chain because everything in the food chain is getting exposed to it. Divalent cation can also be ingested. It's everywhere. So it can come in through the drinking water as well. So basically you're exposed through every possible route. Now the biomedical applications that are being pushed heavily since about 2004 for graphene and prior to that for carbon nanotubes include mental health. The Graphene Flagship has said, oh, graphene can be so helpful for anxiety, for post-traumatic stress disorder. Well, that's because it crosses the blood-brain barrier and affects thoughts and emotions and therefore behaviors. So do not doubt that the graphene can affect the brain because they're already advertising it as a beneficial application, which therefore means that it can be used for the flip side. It's being used for brain augmentation, making people smarter, for example, better memory. It's being targeted supposedly for neurological diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. It can take drug delivery, can be inserted in through an injection and then move through the body with a combination of electrical and magnetic pulses to specific areas that are inoperable to get to the brain, for example. So these are the things they say will benefit, but actually it's highly toxic. Here are some of the harms. Brain and central, this is my own list after reviewing multiple articles on meta-analyses and individual analyses. Neurological disease, seizures, pulmonary effects, cardiovascular effects, immune effects, and it can cause cytokine storms. So it's pretty devastating. It can affect the organs by causing damage and atrophy. It can be used for gene editing, and it blocks the natural repair of DNA. So it could be one of those components that are blocking genetic repair that would normally be helping people deal with cancer. So that could be part of this. And cell damage, it interferes with the apoptosis process, and it leads to necrosis, which is cell death. It's also causing damage to the mitochondria and systemic problems as well, inadequate oxygen. So very profound health harms. There are also harms resulting from its use as a technology for transhumanism. Graphene can be used as a power supply for the nanotechnology. It's suggested that the nanotechnology and the graphene is the reason that people are being detected to have a MAC address, which is a media access control number, giving them a unique digital identification number. Some are now referring to Mark of the Beast. You will not apparently be able to forge a vaccine passport on paper because people will be able to read your individual number. So surveillance under the skin. And the graphene definitely enables sending and receiving electromagnetic signals. In fact, they brag about how good it is as a sensor and as sending information. Unfortunately, it also enables remote control of thoughts, emotions, and behaviors, and remote control of bodily function. So you can read online. This is an article that's been highly quoted, even though it was in a rather obscure source, Particle and Fiber Toxicology, 2016 article that's shot to fame because it's one of the few that talks about the toxicity of graphene family nanoparticles. That it's an article people are more easily able to access. It talks about the different types of graphene, which is a single sheet, single atom thick layer. It can have things added to it. That's called functionalization. And it can also be stacked in several sheets. It acquires really unusual electromagnetic properties when several sheets are stacked and one or two of them are twisted or crumpled. So very, very interesting. And it can get into all parts of the cell, right into the mitochondria. It can interfere with cell membrane. It can get stuck in the cell membrane. It's pretty devastating. Here's another example. And it's so small, it can get anywhere. It can damage the nucleus. It can damage the DNA. It can damage the mitochondria. So, however, the people wanting to push graphene into the body are saying, oh, wonderful, wonderful biomedical applications of graphene nanomaterials can be used as a biosensor, a drug delivery system, tissue engineering. That means growing new tissue. They're suggesting that if a bone is broken, they can inject graphene and the bone will grow back stronger. Well, this could be part of what they're doing in China and North Korea with super soldiers, possibly injecting them with graphene and parts of their body get much stronger. And I'm thinking that the graphene may also be responsible for what tissue engineering we're seeing that is duplicating blood vessels inside the body that are not actually blood clots, because there's no organic components in them. They're made of metals, as Mike Adams has been finding, a high proportion of tin, which does not have a place in the human body. But the graphene-based nanomaterials and biomedical applications research is just plunging ahead. Many different applications they want, antibacterial activity, editing genes, even as a vaccine delivery system and a vaccine adjuvant. So why would the dark side waste an opportunity to get graphene into people's bodies when they're injecting as much of the world population as they can? It comes in different shapes and forms, and it's manufactured in different ways, either from a thick chunk of graphite and then it's broken into pits, sheets, or it's built up bit by bit, atom by atom. So it's top down and bottom up. Different ways of manufacturing it. Graphene is carbon only, one layer thick. Graphene oxide has hydroxyl compounds added to it. And they all have different properties of electromagnetic, water absorption or repelling, and transparency. So depending what you add or take away, you can change it incredibly. Some compounds really increase what's called the functionalization. Boron added to graphene really increases its ability to take up a lot of other stuff. So you can even add polymers to it. And their goal is to put a quantum dot, which is absolutely tiny. There's at the intersection of each hexagon is one carbon atom. So it's only a few atoms. And it's called the graphene quantum dot. And they want to put one of these at least into every cell of every human, every animal, every plant in the world. At least one quantum dot per cell in everything. So making mRNA vaccines, nanovaccines, from polyethylene mean functionalized graphene oxide hydrogel. So they're trying to make vaccines for cancer now using graphene and hydrogel. So one of the people warning earlier was in 2021, the spring of 2021 was La Quinta Columna. Dr. Arianna Love took this up very quickly, warning people. She started warning back in April. There are different names. They're called single-walled carbon nanotubes, multi-walled carbon nanotubes, graphene, a number of different names depending on how they're made. But they're finding that graphene is also in other parts of the COVID situation, possibly in the swabs, possibly in the masks as well. Some companies were intentionally putting graphene, saying that this will protect you even more because it's a bactericide. It will cut through the cell wall of the bacteria and therefore protect you. Now, we have heard that graphene, we've even seen videos of how graphene can move. A pile of graphene powder can move. If it's in a liquid, it can, with a high EMF from Teslaphoresis, it can form wire structures. So remote construction of electrically conductive material, just starting with graphene powder. So is this being done in the body to create electrical antenna? Okay. People have used powder, graphene powder in a pile and put it beside a cell phone. And when they turn the cell phone on, the graphene powder moves and morphs across the table. So that's pretty astonishing. So people are working very hard on coming up with ideas to detoxify from the graphene. This is a popular combination. They suggest also detoxifying your organs first by starting to gently cleanse them to strengthen them and then detoxify. There are a number of protocols for liver, kidney, and gallbladder. One of the teas recommended for strengthening organs is by Andreas Moritz, Moritz. His products are carried in the United States. I can't remember the name of the company, but you can look for Andreas Moritz teas. In Europe, they're carried by a company called Herbatec, T-H-E-K, I think, .de. So these are some of the nutritional supplements that are reported to be helpful with graphene detoxification. Astaxanthin, and they all help with COVID as well. So it's wonderful that there's no conflict. So you're not making yourself more susceptible to COVID by taking these things. Astaxanthin and glutathione are known as the master antioxidants. Now, glutathione, you can take supplements, but it is produced naturally by the body. You need exercise to produce it, and you need food that helps your body produce it. It also helps to take N-acetylcysteine to help your body produce glutathione. But astaxanthin, if you can take only one, this is the most powerful antioxidant. Other things recommended to detoxify from graphene are melatonin, also helps you sleep, milk thistle, quercetin, vitamin C, vitamin D3, zeolite, which has a cage structure. Zeolite is made when volcanic lava hits water, and zeolite is amazing, and zinc. So this helps remove graphene and also helps with every aspect of COVID. Some of the detox protocols have been developed by Valerie Robitaille. She's the mother of Hope and Tivon. They work with Free the World Project in Morocco. She has an MBA, and he's an engineer from the American military. And they do a lot of interviews on the effects of graphene oxide and 5G. So Hope's mother has written a good protocol. I'll show you in a moment. Other people are Dr. Michael Roth, Martin Monteverde, although his protocol is really tiny. It's not very complete. La Quinta Columna has a bare bones protocol. Arianna Love's protocol is much more effective. Alana Freeland has an entire document, which is phenomenal. You can download it from her website, alanafreeland.com. Harold Coutts is astounding in his breadth and depth of knowledge, particularly on geoengineering. Dietrich Klinghardt has addressed it. the amazing Tony Pantelaresco, an inventor in Windsor, Ontario. Dr. Robert Young has written book The pH Miracle, which helps with cancer and other health conditions. He's also been addressing the graphene and doing detailed work on what's in the COVID injections. So here's a quick summary of the products recommended in the detox protocol by Valerie Robitaille. She has a PhD in nutrition. She sells all the products, but you can also purchase them from other sources. However, as a bonus, if you purchase from her website, she includes about an 80-page booklet she's written on detoxification protocol. So if you go back to these people, you can see what they recommend for detoxing from graphene oxide. Alana Freeland and Harold Coutts also cover detoxification from Morgellons. So that's graphene. Harms from non-ionizing radiation. Well, it's been known for decades. It's pretty serious. Experiments have been done on civilians, on the military, on their own people, on the military and citizens of other countries. So it's been non-consensual experimentation for decades. So this is the difference on the electromagnetic spectrum between non-ionizing radiation, extra low frequency, super extra low frequency, very low frequency, medium frequency, very high frequency, ultra high frequency, etc. So this is the visible spectrum. This is the part you can see, but our bodies, the environment, the plants, the animals are affected by all parts of the electromagnetic spectrum. In the ionizing part of the electromagnetic spectrum, that knocks the ions off the atoms in your body and has very negative effects, includes ultraviolet x-rays and gamma and cosmic x-rays. But there are many sources of electromagnetic frequency. One of the problems with the graphene, when it gets in the body, it converts from gigahertz to terahertz. So you become, the people who've had the COVID injection become a walking biological weapon if they're shedding particles, and they become a walking negative electromagnetic frequency transmitting cell tower, a walking cell tower. So this bibliography from 1972 was written by Dr. Zuri Glaser for the American military based on information he'd collected, a bibliography of many, many pages of research from many countries. So the health harms from microwave radiation, radio frequency radiation was already well established in the 60s. And this is from 1976, the Defense Intelligence Agency, they already knew there were serious biological effects on all body systems from electromagnetic radiation. Yet 20 years of research on the possible harms of cell phones ended almost in a hung jury. But this was already known. A lot of this research was done with scientists from Germany and who were then taken over to Russia. Some went to England, some went to the United States, but that's where the German researchers mainly went. But vast amount of research done in the Soviet Union. And more recent research, Martin Blank and Reba Goodman has discovered that DNA is an antenna in electromagnetic fields. And this is as long ago as 2011. So your DNA can be harmed by electromagnetic fields. So stress protein levels and DNA strands break, causing DNA damage. So EMFs cause serious damage. So microwave sickness and electrosensitivity have a number of symptoms that overlap with COVID. And there is a website called weareTheEvidence.org. There are some wonderful organizations worldwide which help people with something called electrosensitivity. And there are certain locations or houses where people just, if they walk into that location, they can really empathize with the person who lives there. And sometimes, even after half a day in that location, the people who are visiting for just that short time walk away and they're permanently electrosensitive. So that's a real problem. So disrupted immune function, the studies go back decades. And it density is the power is measured in density. So there are different densities, but they're finding that there are effects at a wide range of different densities. Barry Trower was a UK military and Secret Service. He's been trying to warn people for decades about EMF dangers. I think he's still working, trying to warn people, mostly on a volunteer basis. Increased risk of cancer for police officers, for example, due to holding their radio in a certain place on their chest. Mark Steele in the UK has been warning people about the 5G towers. And this article by Brown looks at the effect on the blood of exposure to EMF. We're finding that there is this stacked coin phenomenon called Rollo in people who've had the COVID injection, but we're also now finding this effect in some people who have not had the COVID injection. So the hypotheses include exposure to injected people and increased exposure to 5G. So unfortunately, because blood cells need to go one at a time through the capillaries, when you have a whole clump, they're not getting through the capillaries, so resulting in things like organ damage and COVID toe. So I had wanted to mention that non-ionizing radiation is planned to increase because it's felt to be part of the sustainable development goals that 5G and 6G and beyond will be a helpful part of contributing to that. There's the Graphene Flagship as an organization promoting graphene. There's also the 6G Flagship promoting 6G. And they've talked about how helpful it will be to achieve the sustainable development goals by having 6G. So some of the things that 6G can do: enable e-registers for vaccines, real-time communication for hospitals, hyper-local notification and contact tracing, unmanned vehicles for food and medical in lockdown areas. So this is what they're envisaging for the future of 6G. So how much longer are they planning to have lockdown areas? How much longer are they planning to have vaccines and contact tracing? And they're saying, oh, well, we're giving the price of privacy, but, you know, it'll be worth it. And hyper-local measuring tool will be very much helped by 6G, because we can monitor the mobility of humans and animals, where they move, where they go. And we're also concerned about smart meters. One of the best things I know for smart meters is by Kerry Smith. He's given five presentations to our group in the spirituality and science group I've been running for Vaccine Choice Canada. He invented a number of devices. One helps with telephones, one helps with smart meters, and another helps with structuring water and with health. So the smartphone ones also can help with any computer technology. The ones for smart meters can also be used on Wi-Fi routers, appliances, etc. Actually, if you use just one on your house, it harmonizes everything in your house and several houses on either side. If you can't reach your smart meter, you can attach it to the switchboard. This is something that Karen has recommended, a homemade cage for the smart meter. Hopefully you can avoid having a smart meter attached, avoid it altogether, or get it changed back to an analog. Telefy attaches to your phone. It can attach to any different device as well. It's based on biogeometry, biosignatures, and quantum physics. Even if people don't have a cell phone, if they're smart enough not to carry a cell phone, you can just put it in your pocket. Carrie's had a lot of requests to put that on a pendant, so he's working on that. Biogeometry stickers developed by Ibrahim Karim are also helpful for 5G EMF protection, as is his pendant series and a ring. Other devices, they don't necessarily harmonize and help, but there are some devices to reduce EMF exposure that are actually harmful. So I had an expert review some of the more popular devices, and he said, okay, these do reduce EMF and they don't harm. Some actually make it worse. But I think Carrie's device here is the only one that actually makes it better. makes all those scrambled waves go together in synchronization. So it reorganizes what he calls the deranged frequencies. Oh, Q-Link is one thing I have, as well as the Caries devices from EMFX. Dr. Robert Young has done some good work on that. It's a pendant, and it has 30 feet of very fine copper wire. And they're programmed with natural frequencies that support the body. Some natural solutions include Elite Shungite and Clear Quartz. So, as well as looking beautiful. You can wear them, you can put them in your home. And the shungite is powdered and can also be put into organite devices along with metal shavings. Some of the people making organite devices include Ken Rolla, highly recommended at freshandalive.com. His Ormosite and his Scalar Home Shields. They use electricity to project the organ field much further. These are just passive. You can use them under food, etc. And then there, just lastly, there are organizations that help give advice for dealing with radio frequency reduction, how to do it, and how to help your symptoms. So other reports you might want to read include Bioinitiative Report. There are some, the Environmental Health Trust has some good information about reducing your radiation exposure. And electromagnetichealth.org. This is the last organization I'll talk about. 50 EMF safety tips and insights. Oh, a very good book is The Body Electric by Robert Becker. Basically, we're all made of electricity, and we need to be conscious that our electrical systems are affected by exposure to EMFs. Lastly, there are some ways we can approach this by methods, healthcare approaches, and a range of different methods to deal with every aspect of the COVID situation. So, and I'll pause there for people to be able to screenshot this if they wish. At this stage, pulsed electromagnetic therapy is still a caution note for use with people who've had the COVID injection. Further research is underway on that. I'm sure Karen will be able to give us an update at a future meeting, but there are some wonderful methods. I did a 4-hour presentation on oxygen therapies, including ozone, hyperbaric oxygen, hydrogen peroxide, and chlorine dioxide. Magnet therapy can be helpful, but it needs to be used with someone for the COVID injection, needs to be used by someone very spiritual with a very high level of protection. So these are some of the other aspects that can be helpful for every aspect of COVID. And I particularly recommend prayer and good intentions. And we end there. Thank you for your attention to this COVID situation and overview.
Oh, well, thank you very much. This has been so, so, so comprehensive. And I think that what we're going to do, I just have two observations here. What we're going to do, I think, in publishing this is to break it up in various sections so that people can absorb it, and we'll be publishing it over the coming days.
Lovely.
And so we'll do that. Now, what I wanted to put out as a suggestion, and I don't have it, well, it's sort of a notion that you may want to think about. And this concept came up again. It was a thread that was followed through the presentation. So it's sort of a different slice. It would be a different slice, a different way, another presentation, another way to look at this. The way that our tribunal approached the original indictment, and the way that quite recently a number of analysts have been publishing, is what has been coming out is that documenting the origins of what we call COVID in the War Department. This has been a War Department as an instrument of war, and it was released as an instrument of war at the Wuhan military games in October, I believe, of 2019.
Yes, I've been hearing more about the involvement of DARPA.
Yeah. So
I don't have any direct knowledge of that, though.
This is so that we have all of the health stuff over here is kind of a, you know, this was developed and released as an act of war. Mm-hmm. It's like where we started with our indictment, which was a secret meeting, which occurred on May 5th, 2019, in the president's room at Rockefeller University, called by Bill Gates and David Rockefeller Jr. and a number of other evil persons. The purpose of that was to reduce the population of the earth from 7 billion to 1 billion. And so that was the purpose of it. And therefore, they developed a war upon humanity whose goal was to reduce the population of the earth from 7 billion to 1 billion. And so that's how we as a tribunal have approached this. Mm. No frills, we just went boom and stated it. I would like to see, if you're so inclined, because that information is starting to percolate out now. We found it as a tribunal back in November, and that's what we published. And that's why, you know, we tried them. They are tried and fried. We are now, you know, prosecuting them. What was very interesting is that when we served the royal family of the UK on January 15th, with their notices here in Canada, we went to the post office and, you know, the head of the post office came out because we were serving the Queen and Prince Philip at Windsor Castle. So it was a big deal. Within a week of the Queen and Prince Philip receiving their service, Prince Philip was in the hospital, and within 10 days after that, he was dead. And that's the operation of natural law, because he had said that I wish to reincarnate as a virus in order to depopulate humanity. So yeah, that's the operation of natural law. And so if you're so inclined, I would suggest for you, or I would show you the opportunity to do a slideshow on strictly this as an act of war, how it was done, you know, just cut to the chase. Don't go, oh, maybe it was this, maybe it was that, maybe it was that. No, cut to the chase. Show us how the act of war was done. It's all coming out now. Don't be so equivocal, you know, whether it was this or that. It wasn't all of that. It was an act of war. And so that is my sort of feedback. But I want to thank you this. I want to thank you for your service. And we'll be putting out all of these in very, you know, just a number of parts over the next several days. And anytime you'd like to come back, you're more than welcome. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I hope that was helpful. I have.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Did you learn anything new?
Oh, yes. I mean, this is a tremendous volume of information. It really, really is. It's on a perspective, you know, in sort of the healthcare field. I've been more on the perspective of a bioweapon and the perspective of natural law, and I'm after the perpetrators.
Right.
That is my thing. I mean, for me, all this stuff is, you know, the health and all of that is just a cover. Because the war machine designs it so that they can't be discovered. And so that they're throwing everybody off to think that it's a virus, you know, that the healthcare, all of that is a diversion. Okay.
Right.
The
COVID situation, I've come to realize, is part of a much larger situation. But I have been focusing on the COVID itself. I'm aware of big tech censorship, and I'm aware of the banking and the agriculture, et cetera. But
all of that is
a specialist on everything.
It's all a war against humanity.
I know, it's pretty
And it's all a diversion, and all of it trying to camouflage it as a healthcare issue is just a camouflage and a diversion. It's a war, and so that is my observation.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure where, but thank you very much, Clan Mother Karen, for your participation. Thank you very much, panel.
Oops.
And
you're welcome.
Yeah, sure. Any last remarks or?
I just wanted to thank everyone. You know, this has been a hard, difficult thing to come through.
Yeah.
And what we've done at, not only with you, with the tribunals and the court tribunals and the conscious, but the circles and stuff, that's been one aspect. Pam, Vaccine Choice with Ted Koontz, and what we've done over the last 2 years, and Pam taking my research and running with it. This
Great.
Is me delivering another baby today.
Great. That is fantastic.
I'm bearing the fruits right now. I've seen what my research and development has done. So I want to thank Pam for that. This is the most comprehensive thing. I think that a lot of us know bits and pieces, but it's
exactly.
the most comprehensive thing that could be put forward, that we could put forward to Reamer, that we could put
Excellent.
Forward to, as we know, the New York Times will be doing the public trials come summer. So this, to me, is the foundation of that, but that there is hope. We do see the stuff about the contact transmission vaccinosis. We know it's transmitting, and we need to heal those people. We're going to have to look at probably down the road quarantining as well. There's
right.
no question from what we're seeing. And I just want to thank everyone. Cecile, Pam, marvelous. I know we're going to probably need a part three. and it's really hard to go through for an hour or two because it's dry, but Pam tries to break that up with the flowers, but she's giving
right.
you a little education about yes, lavender yes, there
normally
too.
Normally I put the licorice in as well, but today it was just packed information. You want
right.
to know with you and
has to be known because there was nuggets in there too. And you know, and Alfred, you said you had a few things too. And like I took a few notes, I went, oh yeah, that's right. You know, just a reminder, but we have to get this out to the general population, international
yes.
tribal
yes.
treaty. The court councils can see this because what you've done is we've laid the foundation. Okay. And we know that the stuff is in there, just like some of this stuff can help. And I mean, the new stuff, even too back here, the new terahertz and the new stuff I'm dealing with as well. And the new core box, which is even better than this. This is outdated after 6 weeks, 6 months now already, but I've got a new one. But those are things that we're doing with Dr. Ariel Policano and Ryan Williams, of course. But anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I look forward to part three and whatever. And for the first part that we did today, if you haven't seen that, that was so, so marvelous because we talked about the genocide upon the women.
Exactly.
And we've talked previously about the allodial title. And I know people like
and
even
thank you so much for participating in that and bringing your perspective, your unique authority and power to that.
Thank you, Judge Alfred Weber. I really appreciate it. I appreciate everything that you've been doing here. And again, you know, there are so many different things here that we need to come together now, you know, internationally. And present some of the solutions that we have, because as Pam said, bottom line, it was pre-planned. It's in here. It's transmitting. It's
exactly.
contagious. and we have to protect ourselves. So if that means quarantining and we have to bring in military martial law, so be it. I'm looking forward to it, actually, you know, in that way, because we've got to do something. We're to the point, as we talked about with the genocide, the attack on the divine feminine and the women and the sterilization now, the infertility, the fetal demises. This has got to end. And right now we need to get those. I was just talking to a commander. They said, we're not getting the actual true military regen beds. We'll just get scalar and we're going to be able to have to manage or triage with what we've got with this kind of techniques that we're developing. So thank you for the presentation. And we're on to great things.
Thank you for inviting me to present. I appreciate get the word out there. I have devoted 3 years of my life full time to this. Sometime to the spirituality group, but the research in the COVID and the finance and the vaccines and COVID treatment has been pretty intense. And I've really worked hard on specializing in the graphene and the nanotechnology and the EMF. Right. I put a lot of effort into that. And I think I gave about a 6-hour presentation on detoxification from heavy metals as well.
Oh boy.
So I've covered chemicals, heavy metals, you name it. I've covered a whole range of things. So, but I'm eager that more people in the mainstream of the truth and health start learning more about the graphene instead of ignoring that as a possibility altogether.
Exactly.
And that's probably where one of my strengths is, the graphene and the nanotechnology.
Exactly. Well, namaste, as they say. Until our next meeting.
Okay. Take care, everyone. Thank you so much for inviting me tonight. Take care.
Certainly. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.